Thank you very much. It is quite an honor to be here. I broke a couple of speed limits getting here. There were a couple of people very kind in helping me get here by moving. Before we begin, we will do as we always do. Pray.
Yes.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We ask, Lord, as we gather here as one family, you continue to open our minds and hearts to understand the love you have for us, the love we better start having for each other, in a country that has forgotten almost who you are. May our true baptismal promise made so many years ago, and maybe recently made, keep us always at the foot of your cross, so that we may know each and every hour we breathe and live, we are saved. Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Just a quick bio on who I am. I am Deacon Randy Hyde. I'm a 11, 12-year-old deacon. I married a young Catholic girl in 1977. When I went to her and asked her mother for her hand, she said, "It will be a Catholic wedding." I said, "I do not care. I just want to marry that girl. That's all that matters to me." And so for 17 years, we went to church every Sunday. And in 1993, when I told her I had to become Catholic, she thought I had cancer. She thought I was dying or something. It was like, no. But I would leave Mass. I would leave Mass with her every Sunday. And she would start to say something. And I would say, "Shut up. There's something wrong with you people. There's just something wrong with y'all. You show up every Sunday for Mass. Where is it? We stand in line for the Eucharist. And it's almost like we're drawing lottery tickets." Please, before I get much deeper and offend you, I've been under the spiritual direction of two men the last 22 years of my life. One Father Jerome Fry, one Father Mike Champagne.
Wow. Two of the best.
And so there you are.
Oh, yeah.
I remember going to when my diaconate started, and my faith and your faith and our salvation is guaranteed us every single moment. It is what I do with that promise. Every time I come to Mass, every time I serve Mass, every time we have our profession of faith, what do? We renew that baptismal promise, you see? If we're there, if we're paying attention. But I went to Father Mike Champagne because he stood at the foot of my mother's bed when she died, and he sang like an angel. And it was just magnificent. So I went and I said, "Look, man, I'm doing this whole deacon thing." I think it's hysterical because, you know, I'm like the good thief. I stole my Catholicism. I just kind of come in and stole it. And now, maybe, just maybe, they're going to be brave enough to ordain me. And he says, "I don't have time for that. I'm going to Rome." He says, "But I will go and see if Father Fry will be your spiritual director." And I grabbed him. I grabbed him by his cassock like this, and I said, "No, I'm not ready for Fry." And he snatched his cassock out of my hand and he says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And he come back, he had a big smile on his face. "Father Fry will be your spiritual director." Yes, he will. Now, if you don't know who Father Fry is, if you stand this close to him, he will spit all over you. The first dozen times he spit all over me, so I was a little offended by it. And it is kind of nasty. And it's like, "Padre, if you just swallow, we'll take care of this." Okay? But you see, that's how stupid I was. And he called me stupid several times. And he was right. He said, "Call Father Fry tomorrow, and he will set up a schedule with you." So instead of calling Father Fry, I went. They were at Holy Rosary on the Brobridge Highway. And I showed up. And I showed up like we do sometimes for Mass. Sometimes I go to Mass and I don't want to. Sometimes I go to Mass and I'm sitting in Mass going, all right, Lord, what? You see? And I think when we get to a point like that, our Catholicism can grow up in us. So I went to meet Fry because I was I think I got a few Catholic lines with me, and so I stayed after Mass. I went knock on his door. Said, Father Fry, it's Randy Hyde. What do you want? It's 1 o'clock, sir. He said, no, sweet pea. Come back in 12 hours. For 14 years, I met with Father Jerome Fry, first Friday of every month, from 1 to 2 in the morning.
Wow.
In the morning.
So
and I thought, you old man. I was wrong. You see? I was wrong. Just like we're wrong about so many things. In the scriptures, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was 10 years old. I stepped out in an aisle, New Haven Missionary Baptist Church. That does not mean that since I'm 10 years old, I've been anything but a broken, stupid, sinful man. That's what that means. Three years ago, I lost my wife. I stood at the side of her bed. 44 years, we were in each other's lives. It was magnificent. It was the most tragically beautiful sacramental thing I could experience. Father Mike Champagne is I'm broken down on the side of her bed, crying like a little baby, because that was my queen, that was my wife. Champagne reaches over, he picks my head up like that.
Yeah.
Our priests are scared to death to touch anybody anymore. You see? Because we as people have lost the understanding of touch. We have lost the understanding of intimacy. Can't talk about that anymore because I'll get in trouble. I promise you, if I leave from here, or if you call, well, you can't get an answer to diocese right now, but if you call them tomorrow and say, Deacon Randy Hyde was in my parish and he lit me up, they're going to go, okay, get in line. Get in line. It's time we get fired up about something. Mother of Jesus Christ, what are we doing? Nicodemus come to Jesus at night. The scriptures in John says that he come to Jesus at night. Why? Because he was scared. I will read it to you, the Gospel of John. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked him, how can a man re-enter his mother's womb? He cannot do that, can he? Jesus answered him, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That is which is flesh, that is which spirit is spirit. In our scriptures, the translations that we have, Jesus uses this word, onothen. Onothen, he uses. It can mean two things. It can mean again, you can be born again, or you can be born from above. And that's what Jesus goes on to say. It's not about rebaptizing you. See, every time I go to Mass, my profession of faith, what do we say at the end? We believe in one holy Catholic apostolic church. We understand one baptism. What is that baptism? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's all it has to be. You come up on an accident, baptize somebody. My first question, if I come to a car accident, are you baptized? And if they say no, I'm pouring water, I'm pouring something on them. You see? My wife has drawn her last breath Father Mike Champagne reaches over. I'm crying like a baby. He reaches over and picks my head up. He says, never pray again. Quit praying.
So what?
I stopped dry and looked at him and said, what? He said, that's right. You see, all your life you've been bartering with God. Beg him. Beg him from now on. I lost my wife. 3 months later, I lost Father Jerome Fry. 3 months later, I lost my house when the water showed up and flooded everything. December of last year, I lost a six-month-old grandson that took a bottle and laid down and went to sleep. My two-month-old granddaughter is in Houston right now. We cannot figure out why she stops breathing, why she goes to sleep and stops breathing. What do you think God wants from you or me? Everything. Because none of it's mine, you see? My baptismal promise is that. And we say when we baptize these beautiful babies, I've been asked many times, Deacon, if you could just have one faculty, what would it be? I want to baptize the babies, man. You see? Why? Because for whatever reason, last week, last time you were here, Father Keith LeBeau, huh? Is that correct?
Yes.
Talked about the end of life issues. I'm going to die one day. You're going to die one day. Hope it's not today. I got a few things I really need to get straightened out. You too. I think the next meeting will be with Father Bryce Sibley, a great guy. So I think it's comical how God has taken two great speakers and he put a donkey right in the middle of them. Now, I was asked not too long ago at a diocesan function, Deacon, if you could be anything, what would you want to be? A donkey. That's what I want to be. The director of diaconal formation, he said, that's no problem. God picked the right ass. I got no problem with that. I got no problem with that. You know, but do a look. When you go home, Google Jerusalem donkey. Google it. Donkey that Jesus rode in to the town. Huh? When he got off that donkey, what happened? He marked it for life. There's a cross on the back of every Jerusalem donkey. I just want to be a donkey. And I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I quit being afraid a long time ago. And so Jesus came into this encounter with Nicodemus, and he put it straight on him. He put it straight on him. And Nicodemus, there was conversion in Nicodemus. You see? So every time I go to Mass, there can be a conversion take place in me. Or I can just show up half-heartedly to take care of my Sunday obligation. Shame on me for that. Shame on me for that. It was quite beautiful. I love going all over. I love going all over speaking to confirmation students because I just get I'm right up in their face with it. You see, because these young people, every 14 minutes in this country, someone under the age of 20 takes their life. Every 14 minutes. That means in 1 hour, I'm going to try to do this in 1 hour because the saints are playing. But in 1 hour, 4 young people in our country will die because we don't have the backbone or the talent to keep them from doing it. So I go to this confirmation retreat not too long ago. For the first 1,200 years of Christianity, this book was ours. The scriptures are ours. We've kind of not taken good care of them, but that's okay. God has them. But it's quite beautiful for me. I went not too long ago, and they had, I always looked for the biggest guy. The biggest guy. Why? Because he's usually a football player, or he's a young man with a big attitude. And I'm never disappointed. It's always beautiful. It's always beautiful. I see this young man. He's about this tall, and he weighs about 300 pounds, and he's standing against the wall. So I walked up to him. I said, hey, man, I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm here. What are you doing here? I said, I'm here to make you mad. He says, I'm already mad. My mama made me come here. I said, really? Well, then why? You drove here? He said, I did. I said, well, get your ass in your truck and leave. He said, what? I said, get in your truck and leave. Because I'd rather you not be here than be here like that. I don't know how to take that. I said, I don't care. I said, what is that you got in your arm? And he said, it's a book my grandma gave me. I said, oh, that's a nice book, man. Mind if I see it? He hands it to me. Man, there's not a dot on any of these pages. There's not. He said, yeah, he said, I know. My grandma gave me that book. I said, oh, that's sweet. Nice book.
Hello.
I seen all the veins in his neck come up like this. He walks over. He said, man, what the hell's wrong with you? I said, nothing. He said, nothing. He says, I told you my grandma gave me that Bible, and now you just throw the scriptures across the room. What the hell's wrong with you? I said, oh, now it's the Bible. A few minutes ago, it was a book. Make up your mind, young man, to which it is. He said, you going to be here all day? I said, yes, sir, I hope so. And it's all about what we do with our Catholicism. We have over 2,000 years of the greatest faith on the face of the earth. It will be tested constantly. Constantly. Okay. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? When I was first ordained, it was beautiful. Because again, I'm like a Catholic deacon on steroids, man. I get in trouble all the time. And I do it because I know who I am and I know what my faith is. And if you don't, then tighten up. It's not my fault you don't. When I was first ordained, I was at St. Edmund's for 3 years, and it was beautiful because that was my parish. Those were my people. If you're in a parish and you hear someone say that, I didn't understand why they moved priests and deacons. That's why. When I say my, time to go. I don't own anything. Nothing is mine. Everything is the church's. Jesus loved the church enough to die for her. I have to die too to some of that sometimes, you see. It was beautiful. I was at St. Edmund's and it was fantastic. Father Mike Champagne has one dress attire. One dress attire. That black cassock and those black combat boots. And his pace. See, why? I'm coming straight in here and get you, man. I'm coming straight in here and get you. And it's magnificent. So I watch him come in, all of St. Edmund's is glass, it's beautiful. I watch him come in, he gets in the vesting sacristy. Oh, deacon, he says, you can preach. Sir? He said, you can preach. I said, Father, what? He said, you show up for Mass, you're not ready? Why are you dressed? Why you put vestments on? Why you stain this, the order of deacon if you're not ready? Well, that upset me enough. I said, no, I got it, man. I got it. So about the fourth time he comes to serve at St. Edmund's, he comes in, he sees me standing there. He goes, oh, deacon. I said, no, sweet pea. Not today. Not today. You see, these people been watching you. They see you. They get all amped up. And then they have to listen to me. I said, that's just mean. That's all that is. You're punishing me and you're punishing them. He looked at me. He smiled. He says, okay. It was 5 o'clock Sunday Mass. And it's beautiful. You see? I proclaimed the gospel. I sat down. He stepped up to the ambo like this. And he went... And 51 minutes later, he comes sit down next to me. He leans over and we're having this conversation. Men like Father Mike and myself and strong people, we take priests that are very liturgy driven, that are liturgical Nazis. We make them nuts. Okay, we just make them crazy. So Father Champagne leans over and he goes, just like this, what do you think they think now? I said, said, I don't care. I don't care what they think. He says, me either. I said, but I'm telling you about it. And I was crying, man. I mean, it was, you see, if the Spirit will lead me into my Catholicism, then I don't care what's going on out there. See, it's all right here. I said, Padre, I'm sorry, man. I'm sitting back here crying and everything else. He says, I know. He said, I heard you. I don't care. Women live 37% longer than we do. Medical fact, because they cry. Medical fact. That's right. If I die, I'm going to die crying. But
150.
So he tells me, I told him, I said, man, I'm all broke down back here. If I'd had an ink pen or something, I'd been writing on my owl. He says, don't be stupid all your life. Now, most people, if you say that to most people, it offends them. Why? Ego. Ego. St. Paul wrote to the Galatians. What's the first thing he says? You stupid Galatians. When are you going to learn? What is it going to cost us? When is enough going to be enough to where we turn? And we stop waiting to be entertained. So after Mass, normally he takes his vestments walking, takes his vestments walking out. He's taking them off, leaving. It's like, no, but I mean today, you right here with me today. You ain't going nowhere. And everybody come by and it was like, Padre. Man, we could still be in there. We could still be in there. All but Tante Marie. Uh-oh. Here come Tante Marie. That's my pew. I've learned that. You go to different parishes. Yeah. The first thing you do is, where's Tante Marie sit? Because I don't want to be in Tante Marie's pew.
Yeah.
If I am, I want to be in the middle, not down on the end by where her name's at. So here comes Tante Marie. And she puts her hand on her hip like this. And she says, Father Mike, she says, I'm going to tell you right now. All that you said in there? She said, that pissed me off. He did not blink. He didn't blink. He put his hand against her face. He said, Mama, I was ordained to piss you off. You see, that's our problem. We think that we can take our lukewarm Catholicism and go out there and fight what's in that world. It does not work. It doesn't. So we better be doing something with it. And the only way to do that is to get fired up. I can't tell you how many times it was priceless. Father Jerome Fry, it was 30 minutes from my house to where I would meet him. 30 minutes. So I'd have to leave at 12:15. I'd leave early because I'd rather be 20 minutes early than 1 minute late. So I'm having 3 or 4 meetings with Father Fry, and this is what he wants me to do. Deacon Hyde, this is what I need you to do. Deacon Hyde, this is what I need you to do. Deacon Hyde, this is what I need you to do. The third time he asked me, Deacon Hyde, have you done what I've asked you? No, Father. Are you living your baptismal commitment? And is my ordination day, is my baptismal day keeping me? Most of, as Catholics, you baptize when you're about this big. Huh? Mm-hmm. You didn't have nothing to say about that. But now you do. Now you do. So Father Fry asked me if... He says, did you accomplish what I asked you to accomplish? And I said, no, sir. He gets up. He comes around. He picks my books back up like this. He walks over to the door. Throws my stuff out the door. Comes back. Stands at the door. He goes, have a great morning. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of frosted my flakes a little bit. How is it any different for me with my baptismal promise, with my confirmation promise, for those of us that are set apart, not set above in my ordination? How is that working for me? How is it working for you? Go home and Google because we got Google everything. Okay? Go home and Google born again. There are 8,575,000 sites that will speak about being born again. Padre Pio. Padre Pio, huh? What a monster. Okay? We need a couple of dozen Padre Pios today. So what's your excuse? Padre Pio said the world could exist better without the Son than without the Eucharist. Every time I put the Eucharist in my mouth, I don't do it because I don't want to. We need to take that away. We need to, it's we need to be able to receive Jesus in a very spiritual and a very humble way. In my hand is not it. When you go home, you too, Jesus is on the floor. Check that out. Jesus is on the floor. But I asked Father Fry, I said, so this is what this whole spiritual director thing's about? He says, no, it's about me dying every day and wasting my time with you. What are you doing? If you're not doing what I'm asking you to do, then you're wasting my time. And I'm dying. And I refuse to die for nothing. Now, only a man that could love you could be so brutally honest with you about that. What do you want? What are you doing with your faith? What are you doing with your baptismal promise? Every time we show up for Mass, it's an altar call. You know? We have to do it better, and we have to do it now. We can't wait for our grandkids or our kids to get at it. Just can't do it. Father Sean Pine has taken rows of boats down to Tesh, down to Vermilion, with that big monster straight in the front like this, huh? I think that is incredible. Incredible. One year when they come into St. Martinville down there, it was so beautiful to stand and watch. They're processing with Jesus in the monstrance, and people are running. Young people are running to catch up. What? I'll run, get in line for a football ticket. I'll run, get in line to get my nails done or get my hair cut. Run in procession. Our spiritual equilibrium is all messed up. So we need to work on that. We need to work on that. Dr. Scott Hahn is a great apologist, a great man that's come into this church. And he says all the time, do you want your young people to be excited about being Catholic? And why won't you be? Why won't you be excited about being Catholic? I served 7 years at St. Mary Magdalene with Father William Blanda. And Father William Blanda is like this with the liturgy. Like this. The second Mass I served with him, I was standing at the ambo like this, and I said, the Lord be with you. And I did like that. After Mass, he called me straight down. He said, Deacon, don't point your hands at people. As a deacon, you stand with your hands like this, the Lord be with you. I said, man, are you kidding me? I said, you need to pay more attention to the scriptures than to me. He didn't like that. And that's okay. That's okay. 7 years later, when he goes to New Iberia and I come to Lafayette, at Lafayette General, it tore us up. It tore us up. We communicate monthly. He says, man, he says, thank you. I said, thank you. You taught me a lot. He says, you taught me a lot. I said, so you're going to point your hands? No, I'm not going to do that. He said, I'm not going to be stupid like that. He says, but, you know, what, how comfortable have you become with your Catholicism? And you should never be comfortable. You should never be comfortable. Jesus didn't die for your comfort. I mean, he didn't hang on the cross for it to be comfortable. 2 weeks ago, Father Mike Champagne asked me, We were St. Martinville, Our Lady of Sorrows Retreat House. If you've never been there, you need to go. It's incredible. He looks at me, he says, Deacon, he says, you ready to go to jail for what you believe? Because it's coming. last week, a bishop not very far from here preached the Sunday homily, and Tuesday morning when he went to work, there were two police and attorneys there. They wanted to subpoena his homily.
Oh, yes.
See? Because you done said something and made me mad. He says, well, you're going to have a problem. He says, because I don't write my homilies. What are you doing? What do you want? And what will you give me for it? What will you give me for it? Are you afraid? And if you are, afraid of what? Afraid to die? Afraid to live? I have spent the last 2 weeks going over book after book after book about what to say to you about being born again. My advice to you in a very layman way, in a very broken at the foot of the cross way, is every time you go to Mass, be born again. Every time that Eucharist goes in your mouth, be born again. But understand what it means to be born from above and not on this broken world. I don't belong here. You don't belong here. It's kind of comfortable for me. I like it. You know? At one point in time in our profession of faith, it was beautiful because it began this way. I, Deacon Randy Hyde, firmly and faithfully believe and profess each and everything that is contained in this symbol of faith. I believe in one God. You see? Well, we don't have time for that anymore. Because if Mass goes an hour and 10 minutes, you see, now I'm pissed. Now I'm mad. If you could, I think every 11 o'clock Mass, it should be about an hour and a half, because the Protestants have already beat us to Piccadilly. We've already got there, okay? Just quit worrying about it. Quit worrying about it. But here's what we, and again, Martin Luther, he wrote a catechism. He never stopped being Catholic. He had some problems. We got problems today. I'm not leaving the church. I don't care what they say. I'm not leaving. Yeah. That black dress that Father wears, that we get to wear, it's a beautiful thing. Huh? How many buttons down the front of it? 33. Why? Christ died. Down to the mere vestments that we wear have purpose, have principle. How many buttons on each sleeve?
3, 5.
Why 5? Wounds.
The wounds.
It's the wounds.
Yes.
Everything we do has purpose. We don't have time to teach it anymore. Why? Because we got to be out in 58 minutes. Not. I got to Lafayette General 3 years ago, and it's been absolutely beautiful for me. They have no idea what to do with me. They don't like me. I don't like them. There you go. That's recorded. You know anybody at Lafayette General? H-Y-D-E is the correct spelling of my last name. But it's quite beautiful. I get there every morning, and I bless every patient door in that hospital. All 453 rooms. Holy water goes on every door. And I come out of ICU not too long ago, and it was beautiful. You see, I'm living my faith. I don't care. And I'll talk to you about Jesus at the Valero gas station, in the hospital, at church. I don't care. So I come out of ICU, and I got a little lady in a white coat. And she says, "Excuse me, sir, your thing's dripping." That's catechism time for me. Okay, so here we go. Your little bottle thing's dripping. I said, "No, ma'am, it's not dripping. I'm throwing water over there." And she says, "Oh, we can't have that. Someone's just going to slip and fall." See, we're scared. Everybody's scared of something. Why? I counted 9 attorney billboards from Lafayette here. Nine. That's it. And so, you know, she tells me, she says, "We can't have this. I'm going to call housekeeping." Well, my Southern Protestant root come up in me like this, and I was a little cute about it. I said, "Well, what are we going to do about this much water on the floor?" And she said, "I'm calling housekeeping." I said, "I'm going to stand right here until I get here." So here comes this poor lady with a big contraption and everything to pick up this much water. So she gets up, she gets right to me. I'm praying, "Dear God, please just that." I said, "You're going to mop this water up with that water?" She says, "Yes, I am." There you go. Now it's all holy water. Huh? Mop from here to there.
There you go.
I got there. I get to that hospital early every morning. And every morning, there are 93 of those containers lined up.
That sounds good.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? St. Augustine speaks about the sinner's prayer. The sinner, S-I-N-N-E-R's prayer. 2 years ago, our Holy Father was at World Youth Day, and he picked his left hand up like this. And there was this. This is not a rosary. It's an Eastern Orthodox prayer, the sinner's prayer. There are 33 beads on here. It is prayed in the left hand, and it is kept in the left pocket. Each bead, the same prayer. "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." How is your Catholicism growing you up? I wonder if this weekend when I go to Mass, if I knew for certain that it was going to be my last Mass, how would I go? How would I go? Would I go? If you come to Mass, we're going to shoot you. "All right, Lord, I'm going to be there in spirit." No, I'm going in there, man. Shoot me. Send me home, man. I don't belong here. I won't be here anymore. But that's not my choice. His choice is for me to do whatever I can do while I am here. Be born again every time the Eucharist goes in your mouth. Baptism is something that... how did one Protestant pastor say this? And it's very well put. "We are saved by Jesus Christ alone, not by having the right doctrine or the right dogma. We are saved by Jesus Christ. And his baptism is lived in us daily." I pray that your Catholicism will bring you to a point to where you kind of put your little Catholic box away somewhere. Let your Catholic faith move you and bring you to a point to where people go, what in the world are they doing? I swear, they're going to kick me out. They're going to pull my faculties come to Christmas. Because you see, Sean Pine started this thing with going down the rivers. Not me. I'm going in the mall. I'm going to get that big monstrous. I'm going straight in the mall. And the bishop's going to call me and he's going to talk to me again. What do we need to do? How old are you?
32.
You know the average age an individual leaves adolescence in America? Leaves adolescence in America. 33. We have locked our children down. Society calls them boomerang children. What is that? That's my children, man. That's craziness, huh? But we have to understand what it means to need things. We have to understand what it means to need. One of the last things Father Jerome Fry told me, he says, what do you know? What do you know, Deacon? 100%. I know every time you're by me. And it just got to the point where he'd spit on me. I used to make the sound of the cross. It's like it was holy water. It's just like,
don't get too close.
Yeah. And if it offends you.
Well, that's good. Holy water.
Good.
Housekeeping wasn't around.
Exactly. But he asked me, he says, one morning, he says, what do you know 100%? 100%. My Protestant roof, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Also, you are smart ass, he says. He says, let me go get one of your grandchildren, bring in here and put a pistol against it. Now what you know, 100% smart. Nothing. That's right. I don't know anything 100%. I talked to someone today. Well, I know I'm going to die. You don't know that. The world, Jesus can come back to this world now. There's so many things that we get locked in on. We take text out of context. And we can't do that. It doesn't work for us. All it does is create damage. Damage. I have gone on and on. Do you have questions? I don't know that I can answer them.
So you were Protestant when you married your wife?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
How long before you became a Catholic?
17 years.
Okay.
17 years. Yeah. We would leave Mass, and it was just like, huh? I don't understand this. I don't understand this. Why do you stand up? Why do you kneel down? Why do you hug each other?
What
now
clicked?
It's like,
what
you.
Clicked?
Yeah. What
clicked? What made you?
The truth. The truth. I took my Southern, my Southern missionary Baptist theology that I grew up in and drank a whole lot of the Kool-Aid with. Just honestly speaking, I don't mean to offend anyone, but it was just half of the truth. You see, it's been taken. It's been faithful, very faithful people are doing a better job than we are, and they only have half of the truth. We have the fullness of truth, and look what we're doing.
Nothing.
No.
I got kind of like a statement.
Yes,
question.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I'm a born and raised Catholic over here.
Okay.
And I guess I got a little frustrated with Catholic priests.
Yes, sir.
because he chewed me out in front of some other people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 70 years old. I don't need to be chewed out by a 20-year-old.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Anyway, it was about an Easter candle that all burned down, and he started with, it was sacrilegious if I put it in the trash can or whatever. But anyway, I left and went to the Baptist church over here on Main Street for
yes,
4 years. I got so frustrated a few weeks back, I left. I walked out in the middle of the service. The last 3 or 4 weeks, it was about giving money for a $2 million church. Then you go in Bible study, and when a child is born, now this is some bimbo that's trying to teach us, you know, a child is born, he's say 3 or 4 days old. He dies, he belongs to the devil. Okay? Then, in one Bible study, I lifted up a friend of ours that died like about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Lifted up her soul to pray for her. You can't do that. That's up to her if he's saved or not. You can't do that. It's just on and on and on with stuff like this.
Yes, sir.
And then the fourth week when he started about the money again, and you know, it's not in the New Testament about tithing. But he kept on, he wants his $2 million church.
Yes.
Which is gonna be right down the road right here. I left. And I'm going back to the Catholic Church, and that's why I'm staying.
Amen.
You get all kinds of stuff that they take it and they twist it. And to me, all I had been praying for the last few months was just the truth. The truth about everything. You know? And I got frustrated enough to where I left.
Good. I'm glad the little priest pissed you off to leave. I'm glad that someone else pissed you off to come back. And pardon my
French.
My French. Boardhouse French, whatever you want to call it. But here's the thing, okay? As anger can be a very good thing for me.
Me too.
He makes you learn.
The wife don't like it, but I
my wife and I had a signal. We didn't have to say a word, okay? I'd walk in the back door of the house. If she was sitting like this, I didn't even say, hey, babe. Nothing. I used to go in the backyard for a cut of grass. And if I walked in the back door of the house and she said, how was your day? And I went like this. She'd go into a room and watch Extreme Home Makeover, whatever it was back then. In the scriptures it says that Jesus entered a synagogue and he looked around and he seen what was happening. And he got fired up.
That's right.
You see? Now, don't go to Mass Sunday and start turning pews and stuff over. I'm not telling you to do that, okay? But what I'm telling you is this. If your anger is going to be something, let it be righteous anger. Let it be something that moves you and not destroys you.
You know, there's one day I had gone, after Bible study, I was walking to the church itself, and one lady asked me about where my wife was. I said, well, she's at home. She's not feeling good. She said, well, I don't feel good sometimes, and I'll come to church.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. I turned around. I got in my truck, and I went to see the home church. And it was so peaceful there.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I got on my knee. I prayed the road. I had peace right there compared to the Baptist church.
Well, and there we go again. You see, the most difficult thing for us in this area is that we kind of live in the Holy Land, okay? If I get upset right here, I'm going to go a mile down the street, okay? We don't have that situation in other parts of the United States. Pray for our priest more now than ever, okay?
Yeah, you want to keep them.
Because we have to have no priest,
no sacraments.
Okay? In doing that, the pedestals that we have taken and put them up on, well, let's do away with those. Mm-hmm. You see? Why? Because I love you enough to go, you crazy, man. Are you crazy? I love you enough to say that. I'm not trying to be some gunslinger or something like this. But a man walking with me, I'm standing back in church like this. My hands are held correctly. My left hand, my thumb is down, my right hand, thumb is over the left hand. over left arm. Oh, my hands are held correct? Deacon, your hands are not held right. We fixing to go in mass, man. And you worry about my hands. I said, I don't understand. White nail beds. I said, you crazy.
What's wrong with you? I want to say one more thing, and then I'll shut up.
Oh, you can shut up in here. Don't shut up out there.
They're hitting us up again for money for that new church. So I took some money. I took $1,000, put an envelope, and gave it to them, put it in the basket. But I didn't have my name or phone number, nothing on it. Not that stupid. Yeah. I put it in there. The next week, we were told he didn't want just a one-time donation, he wanted a commitment.
Yes.
So you see, it's...
Learn.
Oh, I learned.
Learn. You see, because those kind of things, after 17 years of fighting the church, leaving mad every mass, it's not going to go away till you learn.
That's
and,
right.
And so, again, let your anger be something that builds you and not breaks you down. Yes, ma'am.
I have a friend who's Protestant, happens to be from Plank Prairie, and I work with her.
Uh-huh.
So she would say, she's saved, she was born again or whatever.
Sure.
So she's going to heaven.
Mm.
I said, well, I've been baptized, but I don't know that I'm going to heaven. She said, well, I am, because so I said, no matter what you do from the time that you were saved to the time that you die, I said, you could kill a man and he's still going to heaven? Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's
she
what
said,
they
yes.
That's what they believe.
I said, well,
y'all have it.
And what do you do? What do you say with that? What do you say with that? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And you see,
works have nothing to do.
But you see that that's not biblical. That's not biblical. Our works St. James says, faith without works is dead.
Yes.
I have to work
yeah.
at what I do. I have to work at who I am, and I have to work on my salvation. Did Jesus die for me? Sure, he did.
I said, it's easy to be a Protestant. Much easier than to be.
I don't have to go to confession. I don't
have to be good.
And
it's not good. So then I'm thinking, all right, maybe all this stuff between her being born again and her death is not good. And everything that has accumulated, good and bad, but mostly bad, let's say, not that she did bad, but anything, maybe they just don't have the concept of purgatory.
No, they don't believe in purgatory.
But if you are love Jesus and you're born again, that you're baptized, maybe you get to work it off in purgatory. I don't know.
They don't even pray to the Virgin Mary or the Rosary. I know that.
All of that is something that is very good for us, and it should move us. You know, I almost got thrown out of a parish because I made the statement during a homily: "Never say the rosary again. Never. Don't ever say the rosary again. Pray the rosary. Yeah. Beg our Blessed Mother." There's a lady in Abbeville that made this for me and makes my rosaries for me. Piano wire. You see, because I just push them little cords and them little hook things just right out of pieces.
The little lady right here reminded me of something in one of our Bible studies. It was told about confessing to another person. I know what the Bible says in Matthew, you confess your sins to one another. Well, she said instead of like going, because they'll criticize if you confess your sins to a priest.
Yes, sir.
But it was okay to confess his sins to a deacon. And I asked her, I said, well, what if that deacon then made no promises to nobody or oaths to nobody? You can go in the street and tell you what you've been doing and not doing.
Yes, sir.
You know?
But the great thing that we have to understand in an apologetic form, not apologizing for it, but when Matthew was written, who were they talking to? They were talking to each other. Who are these men? The first 12 of our church, you see? I mean, these men, Jesus picked by him. So we have to go back to the situation And when we understand that, when he says that you guys confess your sins to each other, that's why priests go to priests to confess their sins, man. I hear confessions all day long. I cry, I make the sign of the cross. There's nothing I can do about it. I can tell you, you need to see a priest, man. You know, stand here for a few minutes, I'll go get you one. But, you know.
Speaking of confession, Father Sean Pine will be in Pine Prairie next Friday night with his spiritual care unit.
Oh, is he?
Yes, and he is absolutely awesome. I know someone that hadn't been to, didn't even know when they went to confession the last time. And he came out of there and said,
Mother of God. I hope I'm not giving away any of his private stuff. He's working on the second one. He'll have two of those mobile confessionals.
Yeah, well, I had heard there was a second.
Yeah, they're working on it.
And he brings Sister Marie Therese and all of them with him.
The first, I think it's the first, the first or the third Thursday of every month, he's at Red's. And the line's from here to there, just stacked in here to get in confession.
2 years in a row. One time on Saturday and one time on Friday. Yep. That's what it was.
I'll try to end with this little story, because again, it's all about stories. It's all about sharing my life, my frustration, my concerns, my care, my love. It's all about sharing that, because that's all Jesus did. He wrote a little something in the sand, and it made the Pharisees drop stones and walk away. I'd have loved to know what that was. What did he write? You see, but when I first come into the church, it was beautiful for me. I started bringing communion to shut-ins, and it was magnificent. I had a very good friend of mine that had not been to confession in a long time, and Father Mike showed up way back when he had an old blue stretch Tornado, no air conditioner. So he pulls up to Mr. Floyd's house, and he says, he opens the door, and I said, well, I looked at Mr. Floyd, I said, the master's here. I'm going to leave. And Father Champagne grabbed my arm. He says, no, man, stay. I said, this guy needs to hear. You need to hear his confession, Padre. Just let me step out. No. He says, stay. Yes, Father. He said, so starts talking to Mr. Floyd. He says, Mr. Floyd, it's like I know you from somewhere. He said, Father Mike, he said, I'm just a dumb, broken, stupid man, sinful and hateful. Father Mike points at him, he said, didn't you used to drive an Evangel-made bread truck? I seen this almost dead man pick his head up. He said, I did. He says, you come to my daddy's grocery store in Leonville. I did, he says. Father Mike leans over his deathbed. He says, I got to tell you, when you would come in the front door and bring the bread, I would run, jump on your truck, steal honey buns. I saw that man's spiritual chest go. Man, he started going back, and it was like, that is incredible. Why? Why? I remember like it was 10 minutes ago. They're both standing next to me. They're fixing to ordain me, huh? And I look over, Father Champagne's like this, and I'm going, yeah, me too, Doc. They're fixing to do this. So he comes over, he puts his arm up around me, and he cinches my sleeve up, and he says, Deacon, not yet, Padre. They got to go in there first. He said, whatever. He says, when you come back, make sure people know and see your scars. Pilate brings Jesus back out in front of all his people. And what does he say? Behold the man. People will understand us when they can clearly see our scars. And at the same time, see our passion and conviction. I think anything short of that, we're wasting the sacraments. We need to do a better job. Please pray for us. Please pray for us. Please keep us where we need to be. Because some of us are going to keep y'all where y'all need to be.
We need to pray for one another.
Yep. We will do that right now.
Yes.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, thank you. Forgive us. Make us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I tell you this story, putting my stuff in my books. And Father Mike Schoenfein come to Abbeville. Spent 3 hours with me one Saturday. It was incredible. I didn't have any skin left on my body. Skin be like a catfish. Priceless. He got about this far from me. I said, Father Mike, what, man? What? He looked at me. You know how people look at you? Maybe sometimes in mass. He looked at me. No. Right now. He walks over, he leans across me. And he hit me. He said, you're gonna die, stupid, aren't you?
Yes.
Kay.
Oh, no. Yes. Oh, no.
See, all my life,
K-N-O-W.
All my life, it's been, let me see your hand. All my life, it's been, no. No.
That was years ago when I'm scrolling up.
Yeah, but it better be now today. No. I better know. Or that out there is going to keep winning. And I'll be damned if that's going to happen. Done. Please break some.
Let's go.
Thank you so much for coming.